One of the great blessings of being a Christian is the common love that our God and Father has blessed us with those with whom we share a like precious faith. It is a blessing to be here today. It is a blessing to welcome back a number of our members who have been away from us as we transition out of all of the COVID restrictions that have been placed on us for a number of months. We rejoice that so many of us are assembled together this morning. We rejoice that our auditorium looks more like it ought to look without the chairs all spread out and us sitting so far apart from one another. We rejoice in the Lord this morning, and we are glad. We are in a holiday weekend, and so a number of our families are traveling this weekend. We are happy that we have an assembly that consists of our members and former members and visitors, and we are happy that you are all here today. We have new pew Bibles. If we had pews, we have chairs, and so we have new chair Bibles. In front of the chair that you are sitting in is a chair that should have a Bible. And on page 1214 in that Bible is Luke chapter 22, where we will begin this morning. So the new Bibles in the chairs are the Bibles that I use and that Greg and Tony and I use when we attempt to teach someone the gospel. And so we use these Bibles so when we study with people that we can literally all be on the same page. And so, from time to time, when the lesson that I'm going to present lends itself to this, I will preach from this Bible. And so today we're going to look at two texts. The first one is in Luke chapter 22 on page 1214. And in just a few minutes we'll consider a second text in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So let's begin this morning by reading from Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 14. When the hour had come, he, and the he of verse 14 is Jesus. When the hour had come, Jesus sat down, and the 12 apostles sat down with him. Then he said to them, in verse 15, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. In Luke chapter 22, we read in verses 14 through 20 of Jesus participating in the Passover with the 12 apostles. And in verse 15, he says to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. This year at Annandale, we are considering the theme of drawing near to God with a sincere heart. And thus far in the year, that the Lord has blessed us with. We have read Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus, and now we have begun reading the books of Numbers and Deuteronomy. And as we read the law of Moses, particularly beginning in the book of Exodus with the Passover, we read about a number of holy days and assemblies that God would have His covenant people observe, gather, and participate in. And the purpose of these holy days and assemblies of the Old Covenant is layered. There are a number of things that God hoped to share with His people, that He hoped that His people would gain from these days and these assemblies. And so, as we begin in Exodus chapter 12 with the Passover itself, the Passover is an event. It is an event in Exodus chapter 12 that God would have His people to memorialize, that they would keep in memory year after year after year, that they would keep in memory God's great redemptive act, His acts of the past. The holy days and the assemblies of the Old Covenant were intended to preserve national unity, because all of God's people, no matter what tribe they belong to, all of the tribes of Israel, all of God's people as one, would focus upon the central sanctuary. They would focus upon the tabernacle of God and ultimately the temple of God in Jerusalem. And God would call His people on these holy days to assemble for the purpose of preserving their national unity by focusing upon the central sanctuary and by bringing His people wherever they were after they settled in the promised land. Wherever they were, they would come to the central sanctuary. They would come to Jerusalem, the city of God, and they would worship. And in these holy days and assemblies, they would not only remember the past, and they would not only worship God in the present, but they would acknowledge God's continuing provision, and they would hope for His continuing provision in the future. And as we find the holy days and the assemblies of the Old Covenant, as we find their fulfillment in Jesus, then Jesus and the Spirit of God would help us to understand as we go back in light of the person and the work of Jesus, we come to understand that the holy days and the assemblies of the Old Covenant, they serve as shadows of the redemption and the provision that God would make possible through the coming of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is the name above all names for many reasons. He is the preeminent one for manifold reasons. But in the context of our study this morning, Jesus is the name above all names because He Himself, in His person and in His work, He fulfills the feast and the holy days of the Old Covenant, as He would proclaim in the Sermon on the Mount concerning the good news of the kingdom, concerning the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus would say, "I did not come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it, to show its ultimate end. I came to satisfy the Old Covenant." And so in the context of the holy days and the feast and the assemblies of the Old Covenant, who is this Jesus? He is our Passover Lamb. It was in the context of the Passover that Jesus is preparing His apostles for the kingdom, for the church, for the new covenant, and how His people would think and speak and behave after his death, burial, and resurrection. And so Jesus would say to them in Luke 22, verse 15, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this with you. In that context, Jesus communicated that he intended for his disciples to eat and drink with one another in the future. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul would say to the church at Corinth. I want you to understand, this is what I received from the Lord. This is the Lord's will for you. And this is what he communicated in Luke chapter 22. Jesus calls us together on the first day of the week to eat and drink at his table, to participate in the Lord's Supper together. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we read of the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21, we read of the Lord's table. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read of the Lord's Supper. And when we read in chapter 11, verses 17 through 34, concerning the instructions that pertain to the first day of the week and our coming together at his table to eat and drink, to participate in the Lord's Supper together, notice from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 34, how many times the business of coming together is mentioned. Come together. Come together as a church. Come together in one place. Come together to eat. Come together. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus said in verse 15, it's with fervent desire that I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus and the 12 are sharing in the Passover. In Luke chapter 22, a holy day, a feast that occurred once a year to remember the event of Exodus, the 12th chapter. There were a number of elements that they used in the Passover supper. Unleavened bread, fruit of the vine, lamb, bitter herbs. And as they ate and drank this Passover meal together, the purpose of it was manifold. They were worshiping Yahweh God, the true and living God, who had blessed them in Exodus chapter 12 by passing over the homes that had been obedient to His voice and had sacrificed a lamb and had wiped the blood on the doors of the home. The final plague before God's people exited Exodus, the death of the firstborn. They worshiped God in the Passover feast. They celebrated their relationship with God, His love for them, His provision for them, His passing over, His gift of life and deliverance. They did this together. And the reason they did this together is because it communicated the relationship that they had with God and with one another. And in the eating of the Passover, they gave thanks. Their hearts were engaged. Their minds were engaged. Their voices were engaged. They, from the depth of their hearts, gave thanks to the God who made it all possible. And they remembered, they spoke of God and His mighty acts and what motivated Him to do all of that. Going back to creation and how we fell short of His glory in the Garden of Eden, but even in the midst of our rebellion, God's desire to crush the head of the serpent through the seed of woman. And so in the context of the Passover meal, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, would communicate to us that we're not just to think about Christ, our Passover lamb, once a year, but upon the first day of the week, we would come together on the Lord's Day, on the day that He rose from the dead. That we would come together and that we would view the unleavened bread differently than they did during the Passover of the Old Covenant. That we would view the fruit of the vine differently than they did in the observance of the Passover feast. This is My body, Jesus would say in Luke 22, verse 19, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. This cup is the new covenant in My blood, which is shed for you. And so, as we see, and we hear the voice of Jesus, and we consider the teaching of the Holy Spirit concerning the Lord's Supper, we see that there is purpose to what we are doing upon the first day of the week. We are worshiping our God on His day in spirit and in truth. We are bowing our hearts before Him in love and adoration because of His gift of Jesus. We are celebrating not an exit out of physical bondage. We are celebrating not a removal of a harsh relationship with a cruel Pharaoh. We are celebrating a deliverance from the bondage of sin and death and the consequences that follow as a result of our willing rebellion against the loving law of our God. God, in His love and in His grace and in His mercy, through the person and the work of Jesus, through the body and the blood of Jesus, has given us reason to celebrate. We are no longer under the wrath of God. His wrath passes over us because of the blood of our Jesus, our Passover Lamb. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus that was acceptable to God, we are at one with Him. Atonement. And because we are at one with Him, we have this relationship in which we can draw near with a sincere heart. We have joint participation with God in life and in light and in love. And not only that, but we have a relationship with all others who have a relationship with the God who loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so we gather around the Lord's table to participate in the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week to give thanks. To give thanks for His body, to give thanks for His blood, to give thanks for His sacrifice, to give thanks for not only dying for us, but meaning it. He didn't just go through the motions of making a sacrifice for us. He didn't just throw some money at it. He didn't just throw some hand-me-downs at it. He meant it from the depth of His heart. The first thing that He would say from His altar is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." From the depth of His heart, He died for His enemies. Even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We give thanks that He did that for us because He loved us. And we remember, we don't remember that lamb of Exodus 12 that we took into our home and got attached to before we sacrificed it. We remember the one who in eternity was spirit, but in time became flesh and dwelt among us so that He could share in our likeness, so that He could die in an acceptable way for the forgiveness of our sins, because we are image bearers. We are not bulls and goats and lambs and sheep. We are male and female, created He them in His image. And so, who is this Jesus? He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the best of us. He is the perfection of an image bearer. And yet He was so much more than just a man. He was the Word who was in the beginning and who was with God and who was God. And in the fullness of the time, God sent Him forth to be born of a woman. Who is this Jesus? Among other things for us this morning as His people, He is our Passover Lamb. And so as we think about the Lord's Supper this morning and as we think about assemblies of the New Covenant that God has called us to in Christ through the Spirit, why do we gather upon the first day of the week in an assembly to participate in the Lord's Supper? Well, we are keeping in memory God's great redemptive act of the past. When you read the book of Hebrews, you'll just see one contrast after another between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And in the Old Covenant, from our reading of Exodus and Leviticus, and as we read Numbers and Deuteronomy and the rest of the Old Testament, what we're going to see is that there were morning sacrifices and there were evening sacrifices and there were sacrifices throughout the week and there were sacrifices at different times, and then there were sacrifices on the Day of Atonement, and the sacrifices just went on and on and on. And the Hebrew writer says to us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, here's what you need to appreciate about Jesus. His sacrifice was once for all. We assemble on the first day of the week to preserve congregational unity. To preserve congregational unity by focusing upon the true sanctuary and bringing people there to worship in spirit and in truth. One of the blessings of being in Christ, present tense, is that in the present tense He has made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you're in this assembly this morning, I want you to know you're in this assembly this morning. I'm really standing before you. We're really in this place on Ravensworth Road in Annandale, Virginia this morning. But beloved, in faith and by faith and through faith to the glory of God, see by faith that we are sitting together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that we are gathered around the throne of grace, that we have come to the sanctuary and the true tabernacle which the Lord Himself erected. God has called us together upon the first day of the week to acknowledge His continuing provision in the present and to hope for His continuing provision in the future. And we have called to do this at the Lord's table as we participate in His supper till He comes. The differences between the sacrifices of the Old Covenant and the sacrifice of Jesus is layered. They are many. But at the top of whatever list you make, put this one near the top. Our sacrifice died like all of those other sacrifices that pertain to the old covenant. But unlike all those other sacrifices, on the first day of the week, after His death, burial, and death and burial, He rose. We do not come together upon the first day of the week to celebrate a past founder or a dead hero. We come together to acknowledge God's continuing provision in the present and to hope for His continuing provision in the future till our resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus comes. That's who we are. And that's what we're doing by grace through faith. What are we communicating in the supper when we gather together as God's people on the first day of the week in the new covenant? We are communicating to one another and to those who join us as visitors in our assemblies that the shadows find their substance in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Let's turn our attention now to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 on page 1318. Page 1318. So in the first 13 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there are references to things that we have already read, and there are references to things that we are going to read over the course of the next week. And so I would encourage you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 13, and to use that as a nice little guide to what we have read thus far in the Old Testament. And after we have read about things that are being discussed in the book of Numbers, then most likely we'll circle back and give some more time and consideration to those 13 verses. And so I say all that to say this to you this morning. When we read verses 14 through 22, they have an immediate context. And I believe that the context matters for understanding the passage, the way that the Spirit intends for us to understand it. And I mean this morning to do no harm whatsoever to the text. But instead of us walking through the text and considering the specific points that the Spirit is making to the church at Corinth, I want us to think about this text this morning in light of the points that we need to take away from it as the Annandale Church in May of 2021. So let's read the text together and let's just make some observations that will be a blessing to us this morning. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak to you, Corinthians, As wise men, judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh, are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? The Lord's table is central to the life of a local church. Just as the tabernacle was central to the life of the 12 tribes of Israel, the Lord's table is central to the life of a local church. As we walk through this text and we seek to understand the applications that are being made to the church of Corinth in the first century in their day and in their time, and then we seek to extract the principles that God would have us to see and apply to our church in our day, beloved, we bless a cup of blessing. Beloved, the cup that we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. The Greek word koinonia that has to do with a sharing, a participating in, a joint participation of something. The cup we bless is the sharing. It is the fellowship of the blood of Christ. We, though many, a church by definition is not one. A church by definition is a plurality of individuals that have been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus as a result of hearing His voice say, "Come. Wherever you are, come." And so individually, the members of the Annandale Church are many. But when we gather on the first day of the week around the Lord's table to participate in the Lord's Supper, we, though many, are one. We are one bread and we are one body because we all partake of that one bread. When we eat, we partake of the altar. We drink the cup of the Lord. We partake of the Lord's table. From our readings in Exodus and Leviticus, we see that Israel's sacrifices at the altar, it united them in their identity as God's people. The Lord's Supper unites believers to Christ as a body. When sacrifices were made on the altar and then aspects of the sacrifice were eaten by the worshipers, by the priests, by those who made the sacrifices, God's people were identifying with the offering and affirming devotion to the God to whom it was offered. In the Lord's Supper, we identify with Jesus. We identify with His person and His work. We identify with His body. We identify with His blood. And we affirm devotion to our God and Father. And as we eat and drink as individuals, we eat and drink with other individuals who have accepted the call of Jesus and who share this like precious faith and have gathered around the Lord's table to participate in the benefits and the blessings of His person and His work. We share with all other children of God in the benefits and the blessings of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. This supper that we share in upon the first day of the week, it is spiritual nourishment to sustain our spirits and to preserve our unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Beloved, it is not just a time to remember, it is a time to participate. And there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And over the course of the last year, we haven't been doing it the right way. We've been doing it the best way that we could. And we pray God understands. We need to do things the right way to the glory of God. What is God's will for us in Christ in 2021 as the Annandale Church, that we would share, that we would participate, that we would experience communion with Christ and with one another? At this point in all of our lives, there are a lot of people in our lives. And where I grew up was much smaller than where I live now. And there are times where I just think, there's just too many people here. There are a lot of people in my life. There are a lot of people in yours. But at some point, over the next half hour, I just want you to look around. These are the people that you commune with Jesus with. And that makes these people right here the most special people in your life. And we ought to long to be with the Lord and to be with one another. In conclusion this morning, the point of the Lord's Supper is that we would draw near to Jesus and that we would draw near to one another. The Lord's Supper, the eating of unleavened bread and the drinking of fruit of the vine at the Lord's table, is to be shared on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, in an assembly of a local church. Brothers and sisters in covenant relationship with God through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit, for the purpose of strengthening our relationship with God and with one another. To that end, this morning we sing number 346, Come Share the Lord. And of all the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs that have been written about the Lord's Supper, this is my favorite. I believe that this song speaks to the essence of Luke chapter 22. Beginning in verse 15, when Jesus said, I have desired with fervent desire to eat this with you. And it was in that context that he communicated that in the future, that he longed for his people to come together and to eat and to drink together, to eat unleavened bread and to drink fruit of the vine, and to do this as a kingdom activity in which he himself would participate in. He says all of that in Luke chapter 22. And this song beautifully communicates the will of God in Christ Jesus for all of us through the Spirit this morning. We're going to stand together now and we're going to sing this song. And then we will turn our attention to some other thoughts about the Lord's Supper. And we will eat the bread. And we will drink the cup, and we will commune with our Jesus and with one another. Let's stand together and let's sing.